Hey, everybody. I've got a little bit of housekeeping here before we get into the episode about Instagram and Theology Beer Camp. So I've been getting more active on Instagram, and I just want to let you guys know, in case you want to see me make some videos where I look directly into the camera, I'm sharing some stories and posts about basically all the topics that we cover on this show over at Instagram.com/DanKoke. That's C-O-K-E, and the link is in the show notes. Also, Theology Beer Camp is returning in 2024, October 17th through 19th. The theme is Return of the God Pods. That is a Lord of the Rings reference, which should surprise nobody. I will be there alongside Brian McLaren, Diana Butler-Bass, The New Evangelicals, Bible for Normal People, Tony and Josh from GGCH, of course, Trip Fuller and Homebrewed Christianity, and a whole grip of others. And you can use the promo code RETURNOFYHP, all one word, for $25 off your ticket. Prices go up starting June 1st. That link will be in the notes. I hope to see a bunch of you guys there in October. It was a serious highlight of last year for me. Welcome, everybody, to You Have Permission, the show that aims to take both Christianity and the modern world of science and culture very seriously. My name's Dan Koch. I'm a licensed therapist and a post-evangelical liberal Protestant trying to hang on to the best and let go of the rest. What do we think about that, guys? That line.
Major middle on the majors and minor on the minors.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's a little bit. I'll take that mocking in good faith and in stride here. That phrase is still in progress. But today I'm joined by editor and producer Josh Gilbert. Hi, Josh.
Hey, hello.
And author and theologian Tony Jones. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Dan.
And this is another of our regular Generation Gap Culture Hour episodes, the first half of which will be on the main podcast feed and the new You Have Permission YouTube channel. The second half, that is just for patrons. You can sign up at patreon.com/DanKoke, which is in the show notes. If you're on YouTube, please hit the like button and subscribe to the channel. And if you're a podcast listener, I'd honestly love to read some reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you listen. I never ask for that because it always seemed kind of cheesy, but actually I like reading them. And I will tell a brief story. The best public slander I have ever received, and I have not received much, Tony, you have me beat by a factor of 50, was a iTunes podcast review of my old show Reconstruct, where the one listener who liked my co-host John opined that the world would be better off if I had a millstone tied to my neck before being dropped into the ocean. So,
holy shit.
Everything's been just uphill from there in the review department. I am over-caffeinated today. You can perhaps hear it in my voice. This is the result of my trying to compensate for previously feeling under-caffeinated. But I'm ready to talk about a slew of fun topics today that we've got. We've got another round of bar, bank, church, or dispensary, after which we will check in on the leaderboards. We will share more ways we are becoming like our dads. I want to do an ode to parents' sacrifice around kids' birthday parties based on my son's fourth birthday. A brief story about our roof cleaning guy, low-key evangelizing to me. And finally, the best part of today will likely be the topic that Josh is bringing around the tension between living autonomously and being connected to other people and groups and structures in society. That sounds like a delicious, almost Gen Z problem for the three of us to tackle in a generationally informed way. And that's what we're here to do. So I'm stoked, guys.
What a setup.
Let's do it.
You have like the segment sound. You're just trying to like point towards radio show. Like you're just like making
this.
How did I do? I mean, I'm having fun. It's good.
Is it professional? I'm doing my best Chris Ryan impression from The Ringer. And now that I've said that, people who like him will hear how I didn't quite make it there, but that's fine. Anything to say before we jump into bar, bank, church, or distillery?
Nope. I'm ready to roll.
I could
talk about online criticism that I've received, but that would take the whole hour.
Can you give us one or two that are worse than millstone around neck thrown in ocean?
Oh, I mean,
I'm sure you've gotten them.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually almost like a death threat. So
it verges on it. Yeah. So maybe there's not a lot of way to go.
It's like a biblical, it's like a biblical illusion slash death threat. I'll just tell you one that happened today, and that is my book, which hasn't even come out yet. Somebody posted a 2-star review on Goodreads about how much she didn't like the book, which was given to her for free on NetGalley by my publisher, which they do to try to generate reviews. So I emailed the marketing head of marketing at the publishing house, and I'm like, can you please stop giving away my book for free to random people who are going to write 2-star reviews on Goodreads before it's even out? And they're like, oh yeah, sorry.
Respond with, we don't know which people are going to give 2-star reviews on Goodreads. How are we supposed to delineate?
Well, they can restrict it to book reviewers and librarians on NetGalley. You can like put restrictions on it as opposposed to just like any old person with a NetGalley account can like download this book and read it.
It's like an open invite kind of a thing.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, because they're trying to gin up reviews.
Right.
What did she not like about the book? Was there anything specific?
She couldn't tell if it was chronological or not.
Mm.
Okay.
And somebody else gave it bad review. Somebody else gave it 3 stars, and she said, I really don't like the content because I'm totally against hunting, but he's a good writer. Like, why did you read it?
I'm just waiting for your romance novel spinoff, The Librarian of Wild Places. Maybe Librarians of Wild Places, and it could be a series. You know, you introduce a different sexy librarian each time.
I'll get right on that.
Okay. All right. Well, I think you could consider it. So what we do every episode here is we have an ongoing game of bar, bank, church, or dispensary, where each one of us picks a town. And we list out 4 businesses, one of which is each of those 4. The other 2 guess, and Josh keeps track of the score. So it is my month to choose. And we are traveling this week, friends, to beautiful, sun-soaked Rancho Cucamonga, California, a Southern California Inland Empire city next door to our friend Trip Fuller's beloved Claremont, where he and every person whose theology he agrees with all happened to go get their theology degrees. Is that too
very small? It's
where you go for process theology.
A version of Christian theology being kept alive by 2 people, Tom Ord and Trip Fuller.
Oh, I mean, I think Phil Clayton's doing his part as well, but
that would be pretty deep in the weeds, but I've read a lot of Phil Clayton. He's not really pure process. Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure. I don't care about that.
Not like those other two guys.
I do love the way that Phil thinks and talks about religion though. Yes. He's been a guest on You Have Permission at least once, if not twice. Anyway.
I'm sorry to throw you off, but I just want to tell you what it killed me yesterday, because I was driving home from Canucopia in Madison, Wisconsin, where I gave a little talk and sold my books. And Madison was and Wisconsin does not have dispensaries because weed is not legal. And it
what
was killing me
do?
Because I drove by Blaze. Yeah. Credit Union.
Blaze Credit Union.
Yes. Oh, shit.
No.
I was like, oh, my God, that would have been perfect.
Missed opportunity there.
I know.
Missed opportunity. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, what a bummer. Well, you can't win them all. but I've got some good ones from Rancho Cucamonga, which I don't think I've ever been to. But it's like, isn't that where they live in the Comedy Central show Workaholics? Aren't they in Rancho Cucamonga? I think something like that. Okay, here we go. Are you guys ready for the 4, and then you will determine which one you think is which.
Yes.
Number 1, East West. Number 2, all caps, one and all. That's capital O-N-E, ampersand, A-L-L, no spaces. Lux, L-U-X-E, with a deluxe spelling of Lux. And finally, Elevate.
Which guys, we've had before.
We've had Elevate before?
Yeah, but I don't remember what it was, so good job.
It doesn't even matter what it was before.
Can there's you run no through them real quick?
I will, but there's no statistical correlation between what Elevate might have been called in one city and what Elevate would delineate in another city, so it doesn't really matter. All right, East-West, one and all caps, no space, Lux, and Elevate.
I'm ready.
Okay, Tony.
Lux Dispensary, Elevate Church, East West Bank or Credit Union, and One and All Bar.
Okay, Josh.
All right, similar. I have East West Bank, One and All Church. I'm going to say Lux also Dispensary, and then Elevate Bar, because I think that's a dodge.
Well, I didn't stump you both, so I don't get any bonus points this week. Tony got one, Josh got two.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I suck at this game.
You both got Bank East West, which I guess now that I think about it, that's the most easy to determine. Josh, you got Church, which is One and All. Oof. Lux is the bar, and Elevate is the dispensary. Of course, those are entirely interchangeable names of establishments there. But pretty good round.
What we didn't say before doing this, Dan had 9, Tony had 2, I had 7. So now Dan has 9, Tony has 3, Josh has 9. So it's tied up.
We are tied up.
I'll never come back.
Oh, man.
We're going to have to do like a double bonus round or something for me to have a chance to get back in it.
We'll need double Jeopardy, right? Whatever double Jeopardy is of double Bar Bank Church Dispensary. That's a mouthful. Okay. Anybody got a way that they've been becoming like their dad? This is now our second episode talking through these sometimes profound and sometimes embarrassing realizations we have as we get older.
Yeah. mine's simple. And I'm not sure at what point most humans go through this, but I think it's an aging thing / maybe it's my dad, Gilbert thing. I decided this week that I like history. I'm interested in history.
Whoa.
And I mean, what I mean to say is like, I feel like for the first, 20 years or so, you're just kind of like, I don't really need to know. I mean, of course there's all these things that happen, but like right now really matters to me. Yeah. Something hit this week when I was listening to people talk about the pyramids, and I was like, I don't actually know. Like, I've only secondhand, I've only heard third hand people talk about those things. And I just had a night where I just like watched History Channel documentaries, and I was like, this is so cool. 4,000 years ago, this was happening. And I had a genuine interest in a way that my dad has always watched History Channel and actually cares. It was fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Getting into history, or as comedian Shane Gillis calls it, early onset republicanism, I believe, in one of his widely shared bits.
That guy's hilarious.
That's good. Tony, you got one?
Yeah, I posted a photo yesterday that someone took of me signing books at Canoocopia on Saturday afternoon. And this is related to the last time we talked. I looked disconcertingly like my father in the profile picture, primarily because I was breathing through my mouth, which I've been trying hard not to do. And we are everyone, all 5 of us, Courtney started this, and now all 3 of my kids and I, we all tape our mouths shut every night when we sleep.
Dude, yes. I was going to tell you. Yes.
Yeah, we're all mouth tapers. So Courtney tapes my mouth shut every night. It's like the last thing she does before she turns out the light.
Specific details there, because I could see that getting fucking
weird. No, I'm just saying. So here, but because my dad...
Is
here's
there
what's
a ceremony?
Funny,
I don't want to know.
Here's what's funny, because I'm a generation ahead of you guys, so this is coming down the pike. But many of the...
Our partners ritualistically taping our mouths shut at night is coming down the pipe.
Many of the guys I know who are my age, in fact, the guy I shared a hotel room with the prior weekend at Pheasant Fest, where I was also speaking.
Pheasant Fest is a great name.
Pheasant Fest and Canoocopia have been my last two speaking gigs.
To be clear, Canoocopia is like a cornucopia pun, but about canoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Is it a canoe shop? Is it a bookstore?
Dan, it's the world's largest expo of paddle sports.
Oh, it's Comic-Con for canoeing. It's Canoe-a-con. Yes. Okay.
Canoe-a-con. It's canoeing and kayaking with some paddle boards. And
we've already kind of improved upon the name, so I feel like they probably could spend a little more time, but that's neither here nor there.
I think they named it long before any of the Comic-Con things even started. This is an old, and as you might guess, I mean, I could describe the people there, but you wouldn't need me to go much beyond older dudes balding with ponytails wearing Chacos. Okay, that was the vibe. But that my roommate, the prior weekend at Pheasant Fest, like many of the guys I know and hunt with and hang out with, had a CPAP machine, and he forgot a piece of it. And this happens all the time that I'm with a guy, and he'll forget a piece of his CPAP, and then we have to go find like a medical parts store, you know, the places that sell like crutches and wheelchairs.
You have to go with them for this?
I usually help them because we drove together. We drove together, so we had to like go find a place and bring his CPAP and make sure the little nozzle fit and blah, blah, blah. So I'm having my wife tape my mouth shut nightly so that I don't have to have a CPAP like my dad. That's my hope and the hope and dream.
Yeah. You kind of stole my mouth tape joke, which was to say my CPAP does it for me. Via air pressure. I just think that if I told Jaffrey, my wife, hey, honey, you know what's in your future is nightly taping my mouth shut, I think she would say, yeah, your crystal ball has gotten real, real caked with dirt and you are not seeing the future clearly.
Do you know about like the science behind mouth breathing, though? There's like all these studies that have come out about like people's faces changing because they like spend time breathing through their nose finally. And like
read James Nestor's book, Breath.
All these health benefits.
Yeah. If you haven't read Breath by James Nestor, you got to read that book. Yeah. You got to read that book.
Do I also need to start cold plunging? I mean, where can I draw the line?
I mean, how long do you want to live? That's the question, I guess.
I don't think cold plunging makes you live longer.
Oh, it does.
Does exercise make you live longer?
Yes, exercise does.
It's getting pretty close to that.
All I know is when I've cold plunged, it has made me feel anxious afterward. Like not like mentally anxious, but like I do. It is easy for me to get kind of like over agitated. That's more likely than for me to be too chill. Like just my brain.
Yeah,
and whatever the rest of my body, whatever parts are involved in that, and like both times, I've just felt like kind of like I had too much caffeine, or I just like something made me anxious, and I'm all jittery. So I just think it's like I could see that other people, whatever that kind of burst of energy and whatever that is, could feel really good. Maybe it makes them feel like they're focused or they're like alive. But for me, it just felt like too much. So I think I've done it enough times. I've done it proper two or three times, and I'm not going to be investing in my own backyard cold plunge.
I just bought one, but it's funny that instead of if you're worried about being anxious about that, you should try sleeping with your mouth taped shut to soothe your anxiety.
Okay, I have a great one. I think for becoming like my dad. I have started to care about generational differences, which is very on topic. My dad, who has been a working therapist basically my entire life, coming on 40 years or so now, he would always talk about my generation, but he would talk about it based on what he heard from his clients that were my age, because he always saw a broad range of ages. And so when I was a teenager, he had teenage clients. And then when I was in college or when I was on tour, he had 20-something clients. In my 30s, he had 30-something clients. And he would always be like, your generation, da-da-da-da-da. And then I would always say back to him, Dad, there is a selection bias here, okay? You are only pulling from people who have chosen to go to therapy and then talk about whatever it is they're choosing to talk about in therapy. So you have double selection. You've got people in therapy, which of course now people in therapy is almost no longer a bias. It might be a bias for how much socioeconomic status you have, like you, if you can afford it. And maybe there's, you know, I'm sure there's some cultural, you know, more likely in these cultures than these, but it's not stigmatized the way that it used to be in terms of, oh, your selected clients will be like not doing very well in the world. I think that's less true now. More true that the younger I was, as therapy was sort of less widely adopted. But then also the kind of things that they are choosing to talk about in therapy are related to whatever they are feeling distress about in their lives. So that is not a good general data set for like what millennials are like. This is before I had the term millennials to describe us. So I noticed it, but like what I'm noticing is I'm getting really curious about Gen Z. And next year, starting this summer, I'll be doing a year-long internship at a university counseling center. So I'm going to get a lot of time with Gen Z clients in individual and group settings. So I'm genuinely interested, but it's like something I totally associate with my dad. And it's funny. Like, of course, I went into his field, therapy, which I never anticipated doing. And now I am making sure to not generalize from clients I have of a particular generation to the whole generation. I would rather go to like Pew Research stories and, you know, whatever, like to get the data more clearly. But yeah, generational stuff. And maybe even starting these episodes was a part of that, an early version of that.
I feel like that's more your boat, Tony. Do you notice similar things?
I think we'll get into it with
Tony cares about what younger generations think insofar as they could prove that he is right about something or still vibrant.
I have kids who are Gen Z, so I'm
yeah.
And my kids and I are constantly sharing stuff in like a family group chat. Like on text, and I do think there are some, definitely there are some generational trends. I think people tend to overplay them or overstate them, and I happen to think that like of a lot of the stuff about Gen Z, all three of my kids don't really fit a lot of those stereotypes about Gen Z, which makes me think. Well, again, it's super small sample size.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's always interesting to talk about, and especially when it's like parent kid, you know, a Gen X parent with a Gen Z kid and millennials are somewhere in between. I think it's pretty fascinating, and this will lead to one of my comments when we talk about Josh's big question today has to do with a Joe Rogan podcast episode from 2 weeks ago.
That your son sent you or what?
Yeah, that my kids share. Yes, one of my sons sent it to our family group. And Dan, I think it's about therapy with Gen Z. It's pretty fascinating.
I should probably listen to it. I'm Rogan open, depending on the guest.
Same, depending on the guest.
I value his place in society more than I personally go to the well myself, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I do not engage in the culture warrior Rogan hatred, which to me seems mostly just immature.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do one more little topic before we transition into the patron-only segment of our conversation. Guys, fucking kids' birthday parties, okay? Let me find... Okay. There is no greater proof of our deep love for our children and the truly central place that they hold in our lives than children's birthday parties. They are so boring for the parents, and they are pure joy for the children. So we had Soren's fourth birthday a few weeks ago, and it was at like a local swimming, like community center swimming pool thing. And for 2.75 out of the 3 hours, I was a maitre d', an errand boy, a customer service representative, a person running a speed dating event, and a hired photographer. For 15 minutes of the 3 hours, I got to swim with my kid in the pool. And I left that thing so exhausted, just completely drained. And, you know, if it had been like my own event, completely regretting it. But my son and his friends were just in absolute heaven for every minute of it. And I just want to say to the parents of birthday party age children out there, I see you. I see what you go through. I know you love your kids. Tony, do you have any birthday party horror or glory stories?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I remember from when I had kids that age is that I was like, never more than 2 hours. These 3 hour birthday parties, that's insane. Why? Nothing. I don't do anything for 3 hours except maybe watch Dune. Otherwise, not a chance.
It was a 2 hour party, to be clear, but there was like buffer time at the beginning for check-in. Nah, everyone's early, and there's cleanup, and then ordering pizzas and all of that. I would do a
90 minute birthday party. These kids, the kids Soren's age, have a attention span about the same as a squirrel. So just like, you just bang it out. You do stuff. We would always do no gifts because I was like, my kid does not need more cheap plastic crap from China. And what I remember hating about birthday parties for 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds is every single time being like, we have to leave the house 15 minutes early, drive to Target and spend $24.99 on some cheap piece of shit made of plastic in China that's like engineered obsolescence that's going to break, and yet we have to do it. It's this obligation for all the suburban parents have to do it. And I remember just despising that, the waste of money, the putting more filth into the world, you know. So I don't have fond memories of those days.
Not fun. Also, he's got a winter birthday, so it's not like in the Northwest, it's not like easy to just do it outdoors, like go to a park that has a big, you know, reserve a table at a park, which we tried to do last year. We got fucking rained out, and then we had to go to McDonald's, and we were in
Don't have to have a big friend's birthday party for your kid every single year. Like, you really actually don't. There's no obligation. A lot of people, if their kids, like I have one kid who's birthday often fell on Labor Day weekend, and we'd always be up at our family lake cabin. So we do, like, those are the fun birthdays because it's just family. We have a big cake. Everybody's super happy to be there. There's no, you know, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get creative because that was like, okay, I love him. If I'm honest, I might say it wasn't worth the smiles on his face. Insofar as I know, we can get those smiles other ways. Like, if that were the only way to make him love his birthday, then it would be worth it, of course. And I will do whatever I have to do, sneak in a tall boy IPA or something, if that's what I got to do to have fun. But real big divider of kids' birthdays that have beer and kids' birthdays that don't have beer. And those are two different genres. Of course, then you might regret that because you're drinking beer at 2 p.m. and then you're sluggish. There's no good solution. We gotta get outside the box here for future.
Also,
endeavors.
He's not gonna remember it.
No, of course not. No.
Well, I was gonna say, don't you like set the precedent? Like, he doesn't know what a birthday party is unless he's been to like other friends. So it could be
We go for an hour drive
and play.
Other friends.
Yeah, okay. So he knows.
I mean, between school friends and neighbor friends, I mean, he's going to, you know, he goes to 15 a year or something like that. I mean, like, madness. He knows what a birthday party is.
It's madness.
So we got to figure something out there. All right. Well, we're going to transition to the second half of our conversation, which is for Patreon subscribers only, patreon.com/DanCoke. That link is in the show notes. If you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe, and we will see you guys next time.